over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
The Carolina Hurricanes were resilient, rather relentless, as the Blackhawks were resilient in the third. However, not enough to overcome the mighty Hurricanes. A 6-3 final over at the PNC Arena as the Blackhawks' losing skid on the road now reaches 21 straight games without a win. Just 1 point during that stretch, however, a hard-fought effort in the final 20 minutes for the Hawks out in Carolina. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. Let's head on over back to the PNC Arena and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. And Troy, I really do want to talk about how impressive the Hawks' effort was in the third period. Unfortunately, had they gotten off to this start, we might be talking about a totally different game. But that's what it takes to take down a Carolina team. You got to play a full 60 minutes. Third period was impressive, but the rest of the game's got to look like that, too.
Luke Richardson, in talking to him this morning, they had stressed to the team yesterday. They stressed it this morning, and he said he would reinforce it before the game tonight about how hard Carolina will come at them. And it just seemed like maybe they weren't prepared for what they were going to face in this game. But as he's mentioned, it was so one-sided for a lot of this game until the Blackhawks found a little bit of their groove. And you know, if they played that way all game, you might have a different situation, different scenario play out here. But it was all Carolina to start this game. And Peter Mrazek was actually excellent in this game, giving up 5 goals, but keeping his team in it. I mean, they came at Chicago in the first period, only scored 1 goal, and you just got to give it to Mrazek. I mean, he kept the team hanging around in this game where it probably shouldn't have overall, but you know, a good push by the Blackhawks in the third period, but a good learning lesson for a lot of these guys, the younger players who have never seen or faced a team like Carolina this year.
Yeah, and when the head coach says we got to get off to a good start, he's not just saying that, because that was clearly the case. But it's been Peter Mrazek's play all year, Troy, that has allowed the Hawks to have somewhat of a fighting effort in the third period. I mean, even when you're down by 4 goals, all of a sudden the Hawks pumped a little bit of life into this one. It starts by Peter Mrazek, but then a whole bunch of work from that top line. I mean, I know the Hawks got a couple of power play opportunities, but good to see them capitalizing on it at least.
Well, that line of Foligno, Bedard, and Kurashev really has some nice chemistry. And even though it was late in this game, before they really kind of started to get in their rhythm and started having some sniff and time in the offensive zone, you know, they created the 1 goal in the second period by Nick Foligno. Bedard set that one up after a great feed off the boards. And then you look at the power play opportunities back-to-back. Bedard scores and Tyler Johnson scores on the power play. But that line, it was the best line by far. It just makes, when you look at Carolina, they've got high-end talent throughout their entire roster. And for the Blackhawks, you look at it and you just see the difference. At 18 years of age, how dominant Connor Bedard can and will be in his career. I mean, when he had the puck, he just makes smart plays. He reads plays. He puts himself in good positions, you know, to help out, to support offensively. Just really impressive the way that line has come together here. And I think Kurashev is playing some of his best hockey right now and really finding a nice comfort level with him and Bedard.
Yeah, that's who I want to talk about, because that feed to Bedard on the power play goal, I mean, no look, behind the back pass. And you know, we've kind of been waiting for Filip Kurashev to show this type of style on a consistent basis. And even though we got off to a good start with Bedard, it has really shown since Connor Bedard has come back. I don't know if Filip's, you know, kind of realizing what it's like to play with and without Bedard in the same season, but he is really clicking with 98 right now.
Yeah, you really sense that. And he has the talent level to compliment Connor Bedard. And you look at the no-look play that Bedard did to Foligno in that second period off the boards, knew where Foligno was before he got the puck. And that was kind of the same thing with Kurashev. He got a little feed from behind the net from Tyler Johnson, but he knew that Bedard was on the other side of the net there. And it's just a no-look back pass that goes through the legs of Brent Burns and just an easy tap-in for Bedard. But, you know, from from a standpoint here, you just see the skill and the chemistry that those two guys are starting to create right now. And I think you would ask both of these guys how much they enjoy playing with one another. And then Foligno is the guy that mucks and grinds, but he's having a heck of a season right now, 13 goals on the year and a six-game point streak. So it's been really interesting to see how well this team or this line has performed here since Bedard has been back.
Yeah, the old guy, Foligno, is having a lot of fun playing with the kids, huh?
Yeah, he's babysitting out there.
No, he's clicking well with them. All right, Troy, I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired of this road stuff. Let's get back home. Let's get back to the United Center. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's been disappointing. 21 straight games on the road that they have not won. That's half a season. You know, that they haven't won on the road. You go back to the mother's trip in Tampa when the last time the Blackhawks won on the road. So they're due, but it's not going to be for a while yet. And they've got some home cooking coming up here at the United Center. Got a great week. You got the Flyers, the Jets, and then Chris Chelios next Sunday in the banner raising for his retirement. And Detroit. And
our old buddy
Patrick Kane coming back to the United Center for the first time. That is going to be a wonderful game, but it's going to be a great ride here coming up the next five games at the United Center.
Looking forward to it. All right, pal, safe travels. We'll talk to you in a couple of nights.
Toodles.
That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight as the Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 6-3 at the PNC Arena. The Hawks now fall to 15-38-3 on the season. Carolina improves to 33-17-5. They've now got a three-game winning streak, and doing some quick math, they've outscored their opponents now 14-4 over their last three games. I mean, Carolina is a good team, but as Troy mentioned, this Hawks team did not get off to a good start, and honestly, it was even an even worse second period. Now, however, I did like what I saw in the third period, and I know I tweeted this, that the Hawks are starting to find some value in their third periods, even though they're not resulting in wins. But I do think there is something to be said to that. Now, listen, I'm not naive. There's a couple of things that go along with that thinking. The Hawks are having a good third period, but you can say that because they're either not getting off to a good start or they head into that third period trailing and they've got to make this fighting effort. And maybe even it's the effect of a better team just kind of turning their game down a couple of notches because they feel like all they have to do is coast to pick up a victory. That being said, when this team is in the state that they're in right now, at the bottom of the standings where they are right now, and down 5-1 at one point in the third period, it is really easy to pack it in. It is really easy to just kind of turn the off switch or turn the switch off, whatever you want to phrase it. But they didn't tonight. And we're starting to see that become more of a theme with this team. I think you saw it a lot in the Minnesota game. Obviously in the New York Rangers game where they were able to tie things up and force overtime. I think if you ask a lot of Rangers fans, they are probably to say that that was more towards the Rangers' demise than the Hawks' success. But again, you do still have to give credit to this team when they're able to accomplish those types of things. Was it enough? No. Clearly not. And not by a long shot. Carolina outshot the Hawks 31-9 in that second period. I'm not doing this to sugarcoat things. I'm not doing this to grasp at straws. But there was a time earlier in the year when the Hawks had a terrible road trip. I know it's been a really rough road trip for a while now. But basically four straight losses. The last game was against Minnesota. They had a solid third period in that game against Minnesota on the road. Still lost the game. And then they were able to pick up a couple of good performances at home in a row. And where this team is at right now, you're looking for positive, or rather a net positive. You're looking for at least two steps forward and one step back. The players won't admit that. They won't find that to be satisfying enough, and they shouldn't. And Nick Foligno has even said that. But when you're looking at developing a young roster and year two of this rebuild, I think those are some of the small positives you need to have. Again, Carolina just kind of waxed the Hawks through the first 40 minutes. The fact that they got out of that game, out of that first two periods, with a goal is kind of an enlightening thing. The fact that Peter Mrazek kept the Hawks within one goal after the first 20 minutes, that's a bit of a positive thing. I know it's small things to root for, and it's things that might not seem too valuable right now, but we're in the position now of making opinions on what this team is doing in different ways than just wins and losses. Because let's face it, the Hawks aren't going to the playoffs this year, so it's going to take these types of individual assessments, and whether it's on players, on certain periods, or just the overall growth of some players. I mean, I do want to talk a lot about Philip Kurashev tonight. I thought he had a great game. Maybe one of his best of the year, but as Troy was mentioning, man, is he really starting to click with Connor Bedard. That pass, that no-look pass, I mean, that's a couple of things. That's him having the confidence in himself and him having the confidence that Connor Bedard is going to be there. Now, you could also argue that him knowing that Bedard is there gives him more confidence to make that play and make that pass, but that is not a play we would see him make last season. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for Philip Kurashev's growth just because he's playing with a generational talent in Connor Bedard. That was another reason why to be excited about the Hawks landing the rights to Connor Bedard. Not to improve Philip Kurashev's game, but to improve a lot of people's game. That's just the kind of player he is. It's not just about him scoring points and him racking up goals. It's about him helping the overall offense of this team. And if you don't think that's a factor, the Hawks have scored 7 goals since Connor Bedard has returned. Connor Bedard has factored in 6 of them. Only the last goal, the game winner by Jason Dickinson in the last game against Ottawa, is the only goal in the last 3 games that Connor Bedard has not been a part of. And he should have even gotten another one today until it got overturned because of offside. Now, yeah, I do think it was offside. And the last game, I thought the official's review went correctly as well. But that just goes to show you what he's capable of and what kind of role he is just immediately on after missing so much time on injured reserve, which honestly just excites me for the rest of the year to see how much he can continue. And I mean, if he keeps up this pace, there's going to be probably no question that he deserves the Calder Trophy, which I thought might have been in limbo once he went on injured reserve, but that's not quite the case. We're taking this post-game show up to 9:30. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. I do want to get to a couple of things. It looks like Nick Foligno chatted with the media. Lucas Reichel got sent down to Rockford yesterday. He played in his first game with the Ice Hogs this year. Ice Hogs lost that game, and the numbers weren't too great for Reichel, but listen, this is his first game. We're not going to jump to any conclusions just yet with it. But we are going to be keeping an eye on him throughout his time down in the AHL and see if it is doing more good than harm, because the Hawks are just kind of running out of options for having him down there and just trying to kickstart his year. However, kind of came to the realization of a comparison between him and Philip Kurashev. I want to get in a little bit about that, too. Again, post-game show until 9:30 tonight, 312-981-7200. Give us a call, give us a text. Blackhawks post-game show here on 720 WGN. Connor Bedard looked like he scored another goal, and then they ended up overturning it due to the Hawks being offside. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks post-game show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight, recapping a 6-3 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Tonight's Player with the Most Heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. We'll give it to Connor Bedard. He had a 3-point night, 2 assists, one of them a beauty to Nick Foligno. Up against the boards, a backhanded pass, found Foligno right in the slot. It helped the Hawks get their first goal of the night late in the second period. They were down 4-1 after that goal, but then got things rolling a little bit better in the third period. Bedard with that power play goal, and then he set up Tyler Johnson for another power play goal. That would be the final time the Hawks scored tonight, though, as they do drop their 21st consecutive game without a win on the road. Now, the good thing is they're not on the road for quite some time. Another 5-game homestand starting at the United Center on Wednesday against the Philadelphia Flyers. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. You can call or you could text. Dexter in Bolingbrook chiming in saying that he thought the wrong player was sent down to Rockford. Rockford favoritism never works. I kind of want to elaborate on that one. I'm guessing if you're not talking about Lucas Reichel getting sent down to Rockford, I'm guessing you're hinting at Arvid Soderblom. I'm not going to go down this road again because I totally would understand if the Hawks did want to move Arvid Soderblom back down to Rockford. I think just right now they can handle putting Mrazek out there for more starts than not, or at least more starts than he was doing earlier on in the year. They were kind of doing a 1A. I shouldn't say 1A, 1B. It was a goalie number one, goalie number two type situation with Mrazek and Soderblom at the start of the year. And there was a lot of backlash for Soderblom's performance. And then he had a really ugly game before Christmas in St. Louis. The Hawks chose not to send him down. And then there was a decent bounce back from Soderblom. Since then, it's gone downhill again. But if you're making the comparison of sending Reichel down to Rockford rather than Soderblom, I think you're kind of comparing apples and oranges because Reichel is a guy that they have a very high ceiling for. He's 21 years old. They're still expecting a lot of good things for him offensively in a much deeper position. I mean, let's face it, you carry two goalies on the roster. You carry, obviously, more than 12 forwards. So it's more imperative for Reichel to succeed than Arvid Soderblom. That's just the beast of the NHL roster. And the other thing is they've just kind of run out of options with what to do with Lucas Reichel. They started him at center, and I know that was kind of a controversial topic, but then they moved him back over to wing, and that didn't really work. And then they put him on the same line as Connor Bedard, and that didn't really work. And then they made him a healthy scratch a couple of games, kind of light a fire under him. That maybe seemed to have worked a little bit, but then it went back to the same types of struggles, and then he became a healthy scratch once again. And now it seems like this move to Rockford is kind of the last thing they can try to do this year. It does seem like they approached it in a very positive way. Luke was very careful about his words and the message to Lucas Reichel. Like, they don't want to make it seem so punitive, so kind of a demotion down to Rockford. It's more like, all right, kid, you belong here. You belong in the NHL, but it's not showing right now. So go down there and show us. And as Luke said, kind of gain that confidence from within so that you can come back up here and succeed in that realm and do those things that you need to do. I do want to compare him to Philip Kurashev, however, because Philip Kurashev came in with not as many high expectations as Lucas Reichel, but there definitely were high expectations for him, and there was a lot of concern when he wasn't showing that right away. And if you want to compare those two in terms of age, and I know it's different because Reichel was drafted and he comes from Germany, and Philip Kurashev was drafted in the fourth round back in 2018. But if you look at their ages, I mean, Kurashev first came into the league at 21 years old, 16 points in 54 games. He was then with the Hawks for the next 2 years, playing at least 67 games in each of those seasons, and he really wasn't clicking as much as the Hawks would have hoped. Now Philip Kurashev has 33 points in 49 games. I understand a big reason of that is Connor Bedard, but Lucas Reichel was playing with Connor Bedard, and his numbers didn't immediately spike either. So it's not going to just happen like that. It's not going to be a complete linear improvement right away for Lucas Reichel. At least that's not what he's showing us right now. And the other good thing is he's an RFA, so by the end of this year, the Hawks can kind of have some flexibility with him in terms of signing him more to their favor for a short-term deal and still keep kind of control of him to see what he's capable of. So I know patience is a hard thing to preach for Blackhawks fans right now, but if you look at Philip Kurashev and you're happy with what you're seeing from Philip Kurashev right now, just maybe see that same type of progress. Devin from Palos Hills, the first half of the game was the worst hockey the Blackhawks have played all season long. Only 7 shots on goal with less than half the second period left. Out-hustled, out-muscled, out-played. Much better in the third period. Good to see the power play finally score more than one. Yeah, I agree. The power play looked good in that third period, especially against a good Carolina team on the PK. They're third best in the NHL. I'm not dismissing everything else you said, Devin from Palos Hills. Yes, the Blackhawks were outplayed mightily in the first 40 minutes, and we're eventually going to hear from Nick Foligno, and I'm sure he's going to have something to say about that. From the 630 area code, Bill from Saugany Lake says, nice work. From the 608 area code, here's Dexter in Bolingbrook. Oh, come on, Dexter. The Golden Child, he's the one in the iron mask. You guys are going to get him killed. Oh, man. Dexter, I don't know where that thought's coming from, thinking that Connor Bedard needs to be in Rockford right now. I understand you think of a rehab process and you think of putting him down in the AHL, but that's just not the case. 6 points in three games. Hawks have scored 7 goals. He's been a part of 6 of them. In fact, we got some sound from Luke Richardson. This came from earlier today, talking about how good Connor Bedard has done, not just offensively, but also on the back check. And then Connor Bedard chimes in as well. Here's some sound from earlier this morning.
I really noticed that, even on, I think, the goal that he scored, he took the shot, but he stayed above the net. He didn't go for, like, a swing behind the net and hope the other guys got it in. He turned back up, tight turn, got back over in the middle. Perfect position for back checking as an F3, but the other guy stole the puck, so now he's coming downhill, so you get rewarded on it. And I think that's a better position both defensively and offensively. And I saw him 3 or 4 times, like, putting his head down, crossing over, and bust first guy back, and I think that's been a difference in his game.
I think that's just kind of team habit sort of stuff, and I didn't put too much thought into it, which is good. I think kind of instinct stuff, but I think it was just kind of how the play worked out. But obviously it's good not to kind of get yourself lost in there.
The other cool thing about that is Luke Richardson has expressed those types of concerns about Connor Bedard in the past before he was hurt, and it just seems like he's a guy that you only got to tell him something once, and he'll understand, he'll make the tweaks. I'm not going to say he's immediately going to improve, but he'll do what he needs to do to just try and fix those things immediately. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. I want to go to a call and then we got to get to another break, but it's Jack in North Carolina and apparently has a message for Hawks fans. Go ahead, Jack. You're on WGN Radio.
Well, not too much of a message here, but I just want to say, hey, we called in last year. No major, stuff to points to talk about from the game today. Bedard looked great. This is second annual calling in from post game here in Raleigh. Whoever said from the 630 that Bedard needs to be in Rockford, don't get that one. But go Hawks, boys.
All right. Hey, Jack, thank you very much. And I guess chime in next year when the Hawks are in Carolina again. This was the first of two matchups between the Hawks and the Hurricanes. They'll see each other again in April. That'll be at the United Center. But the Hawks being in the Western Conference and the Canes being in the East, you see opponents like that only twice a year. So this was the first of two of those matchups that we get. Again, that was Jack in North Carolina, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Got to get to a break, though. Again, we'll hopefully hear from Nick Foligno and a few other players and maybe the head coach, Luke Richardson, when we come back. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. As the Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 6-3, I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight. Again, 37 saves for Peter Mrazek. Kept the Hawks within a goal after the first 20 minutes, and then Carolina really turned on the Jets, and they outshot the Hawks 31-9 in that second period. We're leading 4-1 through the first 40 minutes. Hawks had a good push in the third period, but it was not enough. Couple of power play goals, Connor Bedard and Tyler Johnson, but they do fall by 3 tonight. The Hawks' winless skid now stretches out to 21 straight games on the road, but they're coming back home for 5 straight home games at the United Center starting on Wednesday. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. We're recapping the 6-3 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Nick Foligno scored a goal tonight. He extended his point streak to 6 straight games. Let's hear what the Blackhawks forward had to say about this one.
No, it is. I mean, it's We talked about it as a group in between the second and third, just how unacceptable our first two periods were in a lot of ways, just at our compete level, you know? Like, everyone's working hard, and I get that, you know? We're overthinking too much. When you get a team like them who just come at you, you know, you get caught if you overthink it. You look slow. You look lethargic, and that's what happened. And then all of a sudden, the third, where we just said, let's forget all about that and just go play, our game comes to life because of it. So it's a good lesson for us because, you know, this is just a year of lessons. Let's be honest. It is. It sucks saying that, but we're going to have to go through it as a group here and just understand that there's just a way you have to compete and play where you got to think, but you also have to use your instincts. And I think sometimes we overthink and our instincts get shunned away a little bit, and that cost us the game.
Luke was saying that he kind of warned some of the young guys that hadn't played Carolina before about their kind of distinctive style, but is that the kind of thing where you don't really know what it's going to be like till you get out there, the kind of lesson you were talking about?
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, they play different in their rink. They remind me of like San Jose and those teams when you used to come in there, you had to weather the first 10 minutes because they were coming. You know, so they kind of do that, and you know, we did. We weathered it 1-0 and did a lot of good things, and then some aspects, if you want to say, but then we just didn't get to our game after. Once you weather it, then you got to push back. You got to find a way to, all right, tilt the tables back towards them. So that was what's disappointing. We just didn't seem to have a pushback. We got reactionary. It was just like, all right, they're going to come again. They're going to come again, instead of us being like, all right, now it's our turn to push. And that's youth, and that's just we gotta fight through that. We got to understand that there's a way we have to play as the Blackhawks and as a group here that's going to help us with, you know, the year it's been. It's, you know, we're an inexperienced team, but we can build habits and good habits and winning habits through that.
Second half of that game, Kurishev was a monster. Yeah. How have you seen him just kind of grow over this year?
Well, I just think he's starting to realize he can impact games, right? Instead of being a secondary guy, he's a guy that's realized he can be a play driver, and that's what I've noticed out of him. He's starting to realize his abilities and that he can make a lot of plays happen himself, and he's really fast, he's competitive, and he's got great skills. So, you know, when you put those together with a mindset of wanting to make a difference, it's what you're seeing out of him right now. It's great for us, and we need to see it continue.
We've asked you about Bedard a million times, but what do you think of him again?
Yeah, I think you know, early on, I think he got caught thinking. Obviously, we all did. But then you start to see his instincts just in his competitiveness. I think he was pissed that the game wasn't going, you know, he wasn't handling as much, and he started to turn it on. He started just to want to make a difference. And when he does that, I mean, he's as special as anybody in this league. So, you know, we're lucky to have him, and we need more of that. We need him to realize that from the get-go. And our whole team, it's not just him, but our whole team has to realize that from the get-go, that we need guys to want to make a difference. And when we do that, we're a completely different team.
How have you felt about your play? I think you've had a point in every game.
I don't even think about those things anymore. I'm just, you're trying to make an impact, you're trying to make a difference, you know, and that's something I'm trying to focus on every time I'm on the ice. Sometimes it's with points, sometimes it's just with solid play, and you know, that's the difference. Is every night you have a chance to make an impact on the game, and you know, that's what we strive for, and that's what I strive for on this team.
More great stuff from Nick Foligno. Just always knows the right things to say. Called this year a year of lessons, and you know, even admitted that it's kind of frustrating to keep talking about it and keep going back to that, but that is the case with a very young roster and relying on so many young guys and so many rookies in this season. Foligno saying, we've got to think, but sometimes you've got to rely on your instincts. He was kind of mentioning that, you know, the team wasn't quite sure what to do in the first two periods and then found their stride in the third period and kind of just started playing to their instincts, and that's why they were able to do so well. And then you heard Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times. By the way, shout out to Ben. He's the reason why we get that post-game sound so quickly. That even if Luke Richardson kind of prefaces the team with, hey, guys, you're about to face a really good, fast team that you've never seen before and kind of haven't played against a team that plays like them, so be ready. Sometimes that's still not enough. And then the other thing, Foligno talking about Philip Kurishev, I really love this quote saying, he's starting to realize he can impact games and become a play driver. Before, he was just kind of seeming to be someone who's just kind of around. And Chrissy from the 847 area code texting in, hi Joe, Kurishev has had more confidence than Reichel. He bet on himself and won arbitration. Reichel hasn't shown much confidence. We love when Panger joins on with you and Troy also in the postgame shows. Hilarious. I do too. I hope Panger keeps popping in to hang out with me and Troy. It's a very fun time after a rough loss that often happens. But I agree. Philip Kurishev has had a lot of confidence this year. But where did that come from? Because we were talking about his confidence a lot last year, that we thought he could show more. He could bring more of that forth, and it just didn't quite happen. And still waiting for that for Lucas Reichel at the moment. Anthony Beauvillier played in his first game since breaking his wrist shortly after the new year. Activated off of injured reserve and played tonight. Let's hear from the Blackhawks forward.
It is. It just felt like we just shift our focus a little bit and kind of got it behind them and played with speed and executed on a couple plays that made the difference in the third period, obviously. And it's a good build-up for the next game. I think we saw the difference ourselves, so we just got to – it's way more fun to play hockey like we did in the third and it was in the first.
How did you feel?
A little rusty to start, but legs felt good just a little bit. It's fast out there, and it's a tough team to play against. So, first one's behind me now, so I can only look forward. But overall, I thought I felt pretty good.
You've been in the Eastern Conference. You know how what it's like to play this team. What is it about them that makes them so tough early on?
Yeah, I mean, they're well-structured, they're well-coached, and they come after you. It doesn't matter who they play, and they're tough to break out against them. They're D or right on top of you every time, and you got to be connected to get the puck out, and they are connected when they forecheck, so it makes it really hard to actually break out.
One more break, and we'll come back with Luke Richardson. We'll also take a look around what happened in the NHL tonight. Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 6-3. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. Blackhawks hosting the Philadelphia Flyers this upcoming Wednesday at the United Center. Hey, if you didn't know, that's a 6:30 puck drop. It'll be a nationally televised game, I think, the earlier puck drop resulting in so that means a 6 o'clock FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show. The Flyers coming off their 6-3 loss to the New Jersey Devils at the Stadium Series at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey over this past weekend. I do want to get to sound from the head coach Luke Richardson, but first from the call line, it's Rich in Schaumburg wants to chime in really quickly. Go ahead, Rich, you're on WGN Radio.
How you doing, gentlemen? I am looking forward to the future. The Hawks are a young team, but they just need a couple good pieces to compete. And I think Tarasenko and Gensel are going to be available. And we have a ton of left wingers and centers on this team that are not contributing, in my opinion, to wins or competition hockey. And I say we package all these guys up like Kachuk, Beauvillier, Anderson, Soderblom, Donato, Gutman, Sanford, Anthesiu if he comes back, and just shoot for the stars and get these guys. What do you guys think?
All right. Hey, Rich, I like the forward thinking. I appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. It's a lot to ask for, and you also got to look at the rest of the roster. All the guys you just mentioned, and there were a lot of them: Gutman, Sanford, Athanasiou. All those guys' contracts are very different, and I just kind of wanted to quickly glance at some of the names you brought up. Jake Gensel is 29 years old. I think the other guy you said was Vladimir Tarasenko. Let's also point out that Kyle Davidson is not going to do anything to accelerate this rebuild. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to go down this road if they land the rights to Macklin Celebrini. I know I've often said that I don't want to go down that road. We basically did all of that last year, but getting the rights to drafting Connor Bedard did not result in accelerating this rebuild. So I don't know if getting another first overall pick would do the same, or if then it's more of, all right, yeah, now it's go time, because there is still a ways to go for this team. Tarasenko's 32 years old. He'll be 33 next December. I understand the need to compete right now. I understand you seeing the potential in some of these other young guys and wanting it to move forward and just really take full force. But I also think that Kyle Davidson wants to be careful about all this. He has firsthand seen the downfall of the previous dynasty and how that window was not so much slammed shut, but ended maybe a little bit abruptly because of the previous contracts that were signed. So I do think that that's what Kyle Davidson has working in his favor as well. He has seen that. He has seen a team go from the bottom of the standings to a cup dynasty and then the fall off after. So he knows how to maybe work around that. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. He's going to completely ace that test of creating a dynasty and not letting it fall. But I do think he's going to be careful about the next few years with this team. I would like to see some more star-studded free agents signed, but let's also face it, he went out and got Taylor Hall, Nick Foligno, Corey Perry, Ryan Donato this offseason, and maybe they're not the top-tier players that you were expecting. There was a lot more talent on this team on opening night than there is right now and than there was last season. So things went a little haywire with guys getting kicked off the team and injuries. But I don't know if just a couple of exciting free agents are immediately going to turn this team around. I understand the excitement to try and make that happen, but I don't know if it's going to be that much of a quick fix. Unfortunately, we don't have time for Luke Richardson of the Out-of-Towns now. A lot of exciting moments in hockey earlier today, though. I just wanted to point out Patrick Kane picked up his 800th career assist tonight. Detroit won in overtime on a Ben Sherratt game-winning goal. There were 17 goals scored in Minnesota, a 10-7 win for the Wild over the Canucks. Three hat-tricks in that game. Joel Eriksson-Ek, Kirill Kaprizov, and JT Miller all with hat-tricks. And Auston Matthews now has 49 goals this season. Quite a year for him. Toronto beat St. Louis 4-2. But that's going to do it for this Blackhawks postgame show after a 6-3 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help here back at the WGN studios, our production crew of Jack Heinrich, Brendan Rook, and Tony DeNardis. Along with our engineering crew, we had our captains of Brett Jackson and the tireless Krista Flores. Got some help from Adam Phillips as well. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call out at the PNC Arena. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Again, a final score 6-3 in favor of Carolina. Ron Brown has your news next. After that, it's John Landecker. We will talk to you Wednesday night when the Hawks host the Philadelphia Flyers. 6 o'clock, FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show. Have a great rest of your Monday night. We'll actually talk to you tomorrow on Blackhawks Live. Chris Chelios joins us. Talk then.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.